Turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. As we continue, of course, our study of the book of Hebrews, we're seeing some great truths concerning our Savior Jesus Christ. He's the great high priest. He's all that we need. I love the book of Hebrews because what it really does is tie together the Old Testament and the New Testament. They just bring together in one. The book was written, of course, to Jewish believers in the first century. They had turned away from God. They had trusted in Christ as Savior, Messiah. They turned away, went back under the Mosaic Law. The plan, of course, to write this letter is to turn them back to God. They need to trust God daily. They needed to see Jesus Christ for who He is and what He did. Well, as we get into chapter 11, which, of course, there's a whole bunch more that we've already seen, but as we got into chapter 11, the author is just listing, going back through history, showing men and women who trusted God day after day after day. And they lived by faith. And what he wants is these believers to read this and to be encouraged to live by faith. And of course, when we look at Hebrews 11, we call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. And it's powerful because it affects each of us. Because in the same way, even though years later, maybe 2,000 years after this was written, we look at it and we say, if those people could obey God and live for Him and make a difference for Christ, we could do the same thing. So we see men and women taking God at His word, and we get encouraged in that same thing. As we looked at this study, as we got into chapter 11, we talked a little bit about faith. We said, what is faith? It's taking God at His word. We talked about the key in faith is the object of our faith. It's not the amount of faith or the sincerity of faith, but it's the object of our faith, which is the key. Then we started, of course, in chapter 11, going verse by verse, seeing all these different acts of faith. We've now come to verse 20. So we're going to be Hebrews 11, 21. It says, by faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. Well, what is that all about? And we're going to see it tonight as Jacob actually blesses his grandsons. We'll see how it ties together. The blessings are by faith because, what you may not understand, but these blessings are actually prophetic statements, and we'll see how that ties together. The goal, of course, is to be men and women who take God at His word and trust Him, and may we do that. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thank You for the food You provided for us and the fact that we could come and just have a great meal and enjoy fellowship with each other. And then, Lord, we could come tonight in here, and we could have that beautiful song as we think about You and that our hearts desire You, and then to study the Bible, and then to break into groups and pray and just have a great time. So, Lord, thank You that in the middle of a week, You allow us to come together and to worship our Savior and to praise His name and to pray and to study the Word. Lord, we just pray that we'll be changed from the Word of God as we see it, as we see truths, that our lives will be changed. Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ and eternal life as a gift. Lord, we thank You that it is grace, and we love Your grace to us, and we thank You, Lord, for that. Lord, we ask You now that You would teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, sometimes, we say, may God bless you. What do we mean? What we're saying is we want God to show His favor on someone. Well, the truth is, maybe this question is God already blessing, and does God, and has God already blessed, and is He blessing us now? The answer is, yeah, we think about it. Every aspect, God blesses us day in and day out. We think about His grace and His mercy. Of course, grace is getting what we do not deserve, and mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And so we see day after day, God is a God of grace and mercy and blessing. And I said this, I think, 2 weeks ago, but the word bless is the Hebrew word baruch. It's not Hebrew in this passage, but the key word for bless throughout the Old Testament is baruch, and it means to praise or to bless. Whenever it's God to man, it's always blessing because God blesses man. When it's man back to God, when it says that Abraham blessed the Lord, it really means praise. That's how it means. We continue our study of Hebrews 11 and the Hall of Fame of Faith. We're going to see a blessing tonight, but it's not God to man or man to God. It's man to man, and we're going to see it. In fact, we saw last time when we looked by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. We remember that. Well, this week it's Jacob blessing the sons of Joseph, and we'll see how that ties together. Let me remind you of what we've seen. As we've studied the letter of the chapter 11 of Hebrews, we've seen all these different acts of faith. Creation was by faith, the sacrifice of faith of Abel, the walk of faith was Enoch, the work of faith was Noah, the obedience of faith was Abraham, dwelling by faith was Abraham and Sarah and the descendants, the birth by faith was Sarah, the future by faith and seeing the things to come were these people who died without receiving their promises, but they were looking forward. And then the testing by faith, we saw that incredible passage where Abraham was willing to offer up his son Isaac. What a test. And We're looking at these last two, or this verse 20 and then 21 tonight. We saw, we call it blessing by faith, because last time Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Now we saw that was sort of a tricky thing, because Isaac's plan was to bless Esau above Jacob, but God's plan was to bless Jacob above Esau. And we see that God always wins whenever you come in to do that. And then tonight it's Jacob blesses Joseph's sons. There's going to be another time in the scripture that we could study where we see Jacob blesses his 12 sons, but in this, Jacob's not blessing one of his 12 sons, he's blessing his grandsons from Joseph, and we'll see how that fits out. Let's think about what's going on. We know that near the end of a person's life, sometimes a father or even a grandfather would bring in the sons or his grandsons, and he would give a blessing. And sometimes the blessing would be, oh, my son, may God show this to you, and may this happen to you, and this happen to you, that kind of things. But in the case of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they were set apart by God, and the blessings that they give are not just some father saying, I'd like to give a blessing to my son. It was prophecy from God. Because when Abraham made a prophecy about Jacob and Esau, those prophecies were true, and that's exactly what he said. Jacob's going to rule over Esau. And then when we see Jacob giving prophecies about his own sons, they all came true. That's in chapter 49 of the book of Genesis. And then even tonight, when we see Jacob giving prophecy about Joseph's sons, his grandsons, they're going to come true. So it's not just a blessing like an old man saying, may the Lord shine his light upon you. No, we're talking about prophetic utterances, because these men were getting this from God. Now, understand something. In the household, think back and pretend we're there. In the household, the oldest son had the advantage. Now, we know that supposedly the oldest son had the advantage. In Abraham, he had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. But even though Ishmael was the older, Isaac got the blessing, you might say. And then, of course, Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau, and Esau was older, and yet Jacob got the blessings. And we're going to see in these sons of Joseph, he has two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. And we're going to see that Manasseh's the oldest one. We're going to see what happens when we come with the blessing. Now, think about this. The oldest son in the family had three things. Number one, he got the priesthood of the family. Now, this, of course, is before God set apart the Levitical priesthood. And so the father of the oldest son, the father would then pass to the oldest son the priesthood. And then that son who became the priest of the family would pass it on to his oldest son. So the oldest son got the priesthood. And then the oldest son also got what's called the birthright, which was a double portion. If there happened to be two boys, it was divided into three parts, and the oldest son got two parts, and the youngest son got one. He got a double portion. That's how they would always do it. So the oldest son had it made then. And then the third thing, the oldest son got the blessing. So the oldest son, if you were the firstborn in the family, you thought, I've got the priesthood, I got the double portion, I got the blessing. But we saw last time that it doesn't always turn out that way. Sometimes God overrules that plan. The oldest does not always get all three. In the lives of Jacob and Esau, the twin boys, the oldest being Esau, Jacob got the blessing. Jacob got to be the one through which the seed would come. That's the blessing aspect. Now as we follow Jacob, he's about to bless his grandsons, the children of his son Joseph. And we're going to think about it in just a minute, but let's tie this together. Do you think about Jacob? How many kids did Jacob have? How many? How many kids did he have? Children did he have? He had 13. He had a daughter. He had 12 sons and one daughter. But when we think about it, we think of the 12 sons of Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel. Now, Jacob's name meant trickster, or to grab from behind, or to deceive. And then his name was changed to Israel, which means Prince of God. His 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. The oldest son, anybody know who the oldest son was? What was it? Reuben, that's exactly. Who was the youngest son? Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, you know, my right hand son. Normally, the oldest got the priesthood, the birthright, and the double portion. You know, the birthright is the double portion and the blessing. But, you know, it didn't happen in Jacob's family. He had 12 sons. Who would normally have gotten the priesthood, the double portion, and the blessing? Reuben. But he committed some bad acts, and so he didn't get it. In fact, of the 12 sons, who got the priesthood? Levi got the priesthood. Who got the double portion, do you know? Joseph got the double portion. Who got the blessing? Did you say Judah? It was Judah because the Messiah comes through Judah. That's the blessing. That goes all the way back to Genesis 12 where he said, "And you, Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed." The blessing comes that way. Well, now we see Jacob. He's old. And his son Joseph comes to bring his sons to be blessed by their grandfather. And this evening we're going to see the blessings by Jacob, but not only concerning these sons, but there's something about Joseph as well. It's time for the blessing. Look at Hebrews 11. Look at verse 21. By faith Jacob, as he was dying, wow, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Now, Jacob has 12 sons. One of those sons is Joseph, and Joseph has two sons. What were their names again? Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay. Now, and he blessed his sons, Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now, we're going to come back to it toward the end of our study. Why would the writer of the Hebrews mention or even kind of make it something special that all of this blessing and his worshiping was when he was leaning on top of his staff? We'll come back and see why toward the very end. Let's see what happened. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles all the way back to Genesis chapter 48. Okay, turn back. Because we got to see it. It's fun to watch it. This is an incredible passage. And you got to watch it carefully to see what happens. Now, let me ask you a question as you're turning there. What did the oldest son get normally? Priesthood, double portion, and the blessing. Now, in this case, Joseph brings his boys to Jacob, and Jacob's going to bless them. The oldest son was Manasseh. Watch what happens. It came about that these things, that this is chapter 48, look at verse 1. It came about after these things that Joseph was told, "Hey, behold, your father's sick." That's why the writer of the Hebrews, apparently he was dying. And so it says, as he was dying, blessed these grandsons. So it says, Joseph was told, "Behold, your father's sick." So he decided, "I'm going to take my two boys so my daddy can bless my two sons." So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, with him. You notice that I haven't said Manasseh and Ephraim. I've been saying what? Ephraim and Manasseh. But every time I've been saying it, I've been saying the youngest son first. I'll tell you why in a little bit. Watch what happens. It was told to Jacob, "Behold, your son Joseph has come to you." Israel collected his strength and sat up in the bed. So what does that tell you by reading that? He's pretty sick. I mean, he's in the bed all the time. And so somebody came in and said, "Your son is here. Your son is here to see you." And you can just see him going, let me see if I can sit up and so I can talk to my son. And he collected his strength and sat up in the bed. Now, out of Jacob's 12 sons, who's his favorite son? Who is it? Joseph. I mean, the favorite son's coming to see him. Not Reuben or Simeon or Levi or Judah or those other guys. I mean, we're talking Joseph has come to see him. Now, Joseph was very special. He'd been sold into slavery to Egypt and been reunited, and they probably talked, and as they talked, Jacob reminds his son of all God's blessings and promises and all of these things. Look at verse 3. Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me." Did God appear to him? He sure did. See, God appeared to Abraham, and God appeared to Isaac, and God appeared to Jacob. And in all three, when God appeared to Abraham, he said, "I'm going to give you a land, a seed, and a blessing." When he appeared to Isaac, he said, "I'm going to give you a land, a seed, and a blessing, same as I promised your daddy." And when he came to Jacob, he said, "I'm going to give you the land, the seed, and the blessing, the same as I promised your daddy and your granddaddy." That's the blessings. And he said, "You know, God appeared to me, and he blessed me." Incredible. And the blessings are going to come through him. And then look at verse 4. And he said to me, "Behold, I will make you fruitful and numerous and make you a company of peoples and will give this land to your descendants after you for an everlasting possession." What land? What's it called at this time? The land, well, at this time it's called what? Canaan. But it is. We call it Israel. Whose land is it? He said an everlasting possession. They're arguing today on whose land it is. Whose land is it? It's Israel's. Always has been. at least from this time forward, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. He said, this is the plan. The land, the seed, the blessing, the covenant was made to Abraham, passed on to Isaac, passed on to Jacob. And now we're seeing his sons and his grandsons and all of this. And he talks about, boy, this is fantastic. I never thought I would live to see all of this. Joseph was his favorite, right? What happened to Joseph? They sold into slavery. And his sons came back to Jacob and said, this your son's jacket? Yeah, it is. It's got blood all over it. Looks like an animal ate him up. Jacob said, I will never see my boy again. And you remember when they ended up going down to Egypt and seeing him? He said, I thought I'd never see you. And not only do I see you, I see your children. He said, this is the greatest thing. He talks about all the blessings. And then, notice verse 8. We're going to see something. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, who are these? Now, he asked a question. Do you think he knew Joseph's sons? What do you think? I think that's it. I think he knew his sons. But standing there, we're going to see if you go, look at verse 10. Just skip up a little bit to verse 10. Now, the eyes of Israel were so dim from age that he could not see. So what I think happens is he's talking to his son and he recognizes there's two shadows maybe over here or there's two people over here. He doesn't know exactly who they are. So he says, who are these? Who are these? And notice what Joseph says. Joseph said to his father, these are my sons whom God has given me here. Now, that's the greatest thing because, you know, Jacob is so excited about the fact that he lived to see his own son and now he's lived to see his grandsons. And so he says to his son, who are these? And, oh, that's my sons. And he said, oh, yeah, that's the grandchildren. I love them. And so he said, please bring them to me that I may bless them. Now, remember, this is a blessing. Who got the blessing normally? Oldest son, got the main blessing, let's call it that way, got the main blessing. He's going to give a message from God in the same way that Abraham with the two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, knew that there was some special blessing for Isaac and Isaac's two sons, Jacob and Esau. And even though we saw last time that Isaac didn't want to do what God really wanted him to do, God wouldn't let it pass. He ended up blessing Jacob. And now here's Jacob having the opportunity to bless his grandsons. What's he going to say about these two boys? And notice it's Manasseh and Ephraim, but I've always said Ephraim and Manasseh. And we'll talk why in a minute. Notice verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel were so dim from age that he could not see. Joseph brought them close to him and he kissed them and embraced them. Got two boys. The older one is named Manasseh. The younger one is named Ephraim. And he's brought them up. And you know, just looking at this, we don't know how old they are exactly. You know, it doesn't tell us. But watch what he's going to say. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your children as well. Jacob said, or Israel, as you want to call him. In this passage, he's called Israel over and over and over. But he said that he was going to go down to his grave, never seeing Joseph again. And then he says, what a blessing from God. I see you and your kids. This is the greatest. I never expected. Now watch what happens. Joseph took them from his knees. That gives an indication that they are what? They're little. They're not big boys. They're little boys. And bowed with his face to the ground. Joseph took them both. Now, I want you to watch this. Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's what? Left. And Manasseh with his left hand towards Israel's right. So here's Joseph. He's got his youngest son on this side. He's got his oldest son on this side. That means when Jacob's right hand is going to be on whose head? Who's the oldest boy? Manasseh. And who is this? Ephraim. And so here's Joseph's got this plan out. He said, okay, here's my youngest son. Here's my oldest son. I want my daddy to put his right hand on my oldest son because the oldest son gets what? Gets the main blessing, and then puts the left hand on the youngest son. That's the plan. So he says, I'm going to line him up since he can't see. Here, let me line him up for you. Daddy, here's what I want you to do. And you can see him going, okay, okay. Watch what happens. Joseph, verse 13, Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right, and brought them close to him. But, look at verse 14. But Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands, although Manasseh was the firstborn. You can see, here's old Jacob, and he goes, that's what he does. And then immediately begins into his blessing. What do you think Joseph thought? Wait a minute. You're messing up. Don't you? I know you can't see, but you can't. Why did you cross your hands? I told you I had it all set up. Verse 14, Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands, although Manasseh was the firstborn. He blessed Joseph and said, here comes his blessing. Watch what he's going to start by doing. He said, he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. Let me tell you, we skip over all that stuff, don't we? Look what he said. God has been his what? All the days of his life. His shepherd. You think of God as your shepherd? 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He gives me everything that I need. And what Jacob is saying is, all my life, God has taken care of me. He's my shepherd. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless these lads. Bless these little boys. May my name live on in them. Is he bragging? No, because look at the next part. And the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. He's saying, listen, the promise from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, it's going on in these boys. It's got to spread on, the promise of the land, the seed, the blessing. What does he really say he wants to happen with these boys? May they grow into a what? Multitude. Let me tell you, when they ended up going down into Egypt, how many went into Egypt? And we've talked about it before. It's about 75. That's not a nation, is it? One place says 70, the other says 75. I think one is counting the ones that came in. The other one's counting the ones that were already there. Puts it all together. Because Joseph was already there and had some sons of his own. So the total count was about 75 people. That's not a nation. That's a pretty big family, but it's not a nation. They come out 400 years later. How many? 2 million people. That's a nation. And so he says, do you think that was answered? May they grow into a multitude in the midst of this earth. Wow. Watch what happens. You can almost see Jacob starting off going, okay, may the God bless me. You know, he's got his hands crossed. Joseph is going, this is wrong. I got to switch this. So when Joseph saw, verse 17, his father laid his right hand on Ephraim's head, it displeased him. Why? He's the youngest one. The blessing goes to who? Most of the time to the oldest. And of course, in Abraham, to Isaac and Ishmael, it went to Isaac. And Jacob and Esau went to Jacob. So every time so far, it looks like we're just going to follow this pattern. So he says it displeased him. He grasped his father's hands to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh. What he was going to do is take his father's right hand and switch it back over to the oldest. Joseph said to his father, no, not so, my father. This one is the firstborn. Place your right hand on his head. He's saying, Daddy, you're messing up. You know, this is the firstborn. He finally figured what? What do you think he thought? He just can't see. Poor thing. He can't see. So he doesn't know. Daddy, don't you really? This is the firstborn. Watch. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He, Manasseh, will become a great people, become a people, and he'll be great. However, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. He blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will pronounce blessings, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Thus he put Ephraim over Manasseh. Did you notice how he said it there? May God make you like, not Manasseh and Ephraim, but Ephraim and Manasseh. See, from this point on, the youngest one's the first one. Because he changed it, he said, and thus he put Ephraim for Manasseh. Now, it came true, by the way. These two boys became two of the largest tribes. In fact, the tribe of Ephraim became the largest tribe in Israel. And the northern empire, when the two nations divided, what was the southern empire called? Judah. And the northern empire was called Israel. And yet, in many times, it was called what? Ephraim, yeah, or Ephraim, whatever you want to say, however you say it. It was. So what he said came true, that he would be a great people out of him. And it was. It was powerful. Now there's one final thing that you need to see. Notice, then Israel said to Joseph, Joseph, before, behold, I'm about to die, but I got something to tell you. But God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. What happened to Joseph? Because this is the promise. He said, don't you realize that God's going to bless you and bring you back to the land of your fathers? What happened to Joseph? He died. Where? In Egypt. He died in Egypt. Did they bury him in Egypt? No, what'd they do? They embalmed his body. And what did he tell them before he died? I'm going back. So when I die, then embalm my body and take me back when you go. Because the promise was that I'll go back to the land. And sure enough, when he died, they embalmed him. And when Moses raised up and they came out, they took that body with them and brought him back to Israel, back to the land. And God will bring you back to the land of your fathers. Now watch this. I will give you one portion more than your brothers. Now, they're 12 boys, right? Joseph, one of the 12. What did he just promise Joseph? The double portion. Now, we said a while ago, who got the priesthood? Levi did. Who got the blessing? Judah did. But who got the double portion? Joseph. Now, when you go into the land and they divided the land up, is there a tribe called Joseph? There's not. But there are two tribes called Ephraim and Manasseh. See, he got the double portion, so his two boys got their own separate tribes. That's the promise. It's all coming true. It all comes true. Everything that he promised came true. By faith, Jacob blessed his grandsons concerning the future and told Joseph of his double portion. Go back to Hebrews 11. Back again to verse 21, and we want to see a couple of things there. It says again, by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, he appears to be, because the writer of Hebrews tells us he was dying. If we just look at Genesis 48, we know he's pretty sick because he's laying in the bed and can't get up. And it says, as he was dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph, that's Ephraim and Manasseh. And notice I keep saying Ephraim and Manasseh because from that point on, it was never Manasseh and Ephraim anymore. It was Ephraim and Manasseh. And even as a young Christian, when I studied the tribes, every time it was listed, it was always Ephraim and Manasseh, always. And then from that point on, right there in Genesis 48, it is Ephraim and Manasseh because Ephraim got the blessing. And he gave orders. It says he worshipped leaning on top of his staff. Now, before we talk about it a second, think about how he blessed the future. He did what God wanted rather than the normal plan. Because the normal plan would have been who would have got the blessing? Manasseh would have, but Ephraim did. Sometimes God does things that don't look normal. I mean, does it look like Jesus Christ dying on the cross is a great thing? It doesn't look that good, does it? I mean, people say, well, that's a horrible thing. But God said, no, that's the plan. Because what looks bad really is good because he's paying for the sins of mankind. Or how about where the Bible says, if you gain your life, you must lose it. Yeah. Or to be great, you have to be a servant. Or freedom from sins come when we become a servant of Christ. I mean, sometimes things seem strange, but they're really right. Two things I want you to think about before we finish this little section. God's working in all the events of our lives, and we have to trust him. And I guarantee you, Ephraim and Manasseh, probably were so young, so small, they didn't understand everything that was going on. But Joseph did, and Jacob did, And God did, of course, making the plan. Here in this sovereign plan of God, the younger was over the elder. And we have to trust Him that He is working in all of the events of our lives. There are a lot of things that aren't necessarily good, but we have to trust Him. God can and use. Now, here's what I love about this. God can and will use any of us, not based on status, birth, or possessions. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter background. It doesn't matter any of that, because God doesn't say, well, this is firstborn, so they're going to do better than this person. He says, listen, I'm going to take each person, I'm going to use them how I want to use them. And the key thing for us is just to be faithful men and women doing what God wants us to do. We've all got gifts, talents, and abilities, and He will use each one of us for His glory. Now, look how it ended. Verse 21 again. And he worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. Why would he mention that? What's a staff? It's like a what? It's like a cane. Why did Jacob have a cane? See, we're never going to forget why Jacob needed a cane. Because if you remember back, that Jacob wrestled with God. And Jacob, up to that point in time, had always tried to do his own thing. He had all his plan figured out on how he was going to keep his brother Esau from getting him. And so he sent all the family up ahead of him. He figured, they'll have to kill everybody before they get to me. I'm working this plan out. And when God came to him that night, and they wrestled all night, so to speak, that God's plan was for Jacob to realize, God's plan was, Jacob, you're going to have to realize, you got to trust me. You can't depend on your strength. So what happened at the very end of the wrestling match? God did what? Touched his side right there in his hip. And from that point on, he had to have a cane. He had to remember, I've got to always depend on God, because every time I walk, I think I got to depend on God, because He's the one that made me feel this way. So he ended the whole thing, whole life mentioned, leaning on the top of his staff. You know what we have to do? We have to remember that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and apart from Him, we can do nothing. That's the only way. We want to live to obey. May we live to obey God's word, being used by Him for His glory. Let me give you, I think we got some applications. Do we, Bryn? Yeah, here's the first one. Let's rest in the sovereign plan of God. I mean, we've been studying these blessings things in the last couple of weeks in Hebrews 11, and what we see is that God is the one that works it out. He works a sovereign plan according to His will. There's no fate or chance or luck. We're in the hands of the all-powerful, perfect God. And let me tell you, I don't want to be anywhere else. I do not want to be in my hands. I do not want to be in your hands. I only want to be in the hands of the sovereign God, because He's only going to do what's right and good and best, even though it doesn't always look that way. We've got to trust Him, and so let's rest in the sovereign plan of God. I guarantee you, when Abraham was chosen, that was the sovereign plan of God. And when God told Abraham that Isaac would be blessed above Ishmael, that's the sovereign plan of God. And when the whole thing was Jacob above Esau, that's the sovereign plan of God. And then in this plan, we're going to see that it was Joseph who got the double portion and all this, and Judah got the blessing. And then of these two sons, it's going to be Ephraim above Manasseh, on and on. God has a sovereign plan. And you start looking at it, why was Joshua the one to lead the people into the land of Israel? Joshua the best guy? God raised him up, didn't He? I mean, you start looking, why was David the king? Out of all those brothers, David being the youngest one, and they're like the second or third one, he looked at him and said, that guy's big and handsome, he ought to be king. And God said, no, don't look on the outside, I look on the inside. Why was David picked? That's God's plan over and over. We got to rest in the sovereign plan of God. Second, live in God's power, not our power. That's the only way we can do it. As I think about Jacob leaning on his cane, as we go through life, we have to remember that the only way we're going to make it is not our strength. You can't depend on yourself. You can't do it. We cannot have victory in the Christian life in our own strength. It is not possible. We have to live our lives in the power of God through us. It's God's strength through us. And so live in God's power, not ourselves. May we rest in the sovereignty of our God, living in His power. Well, let me pray. We'll open up for some questions. We got just a minute or two if you got some questions before we break for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your grace to us. And Lord, as we think about the passage and we think about Your sovereign plan, here's Joseph bringing his sons, expecting a certain thing that he thought was going to happen. And we see how You, in Your sovereign plan, You work things differently. And Lord, we know that we must rest in Your sovereign plan, because You're a great God. Everything You do is perfect, and you work all things according to the counsel of your will, and you work all things together for good, even though they may not be good, you work them for good, and we rest and trust in you. And Lord, as we think about living our lives, just as Jacob leaned on his top of his staff, having to trust you every step of the way, may we trust you every step of the way and live in your power, not our power. Thank you, Lord, that we can do all things through the one who strengthens us. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.